This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I remember when I lost my mind.
All right. It was only yesterday. 11:02, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. This one is the weirder rejoins that we have. It's like a terrible karaoke version of this song, almost. But it's so blah that you can't get it up for it. But it's also not slow enough to like be a melodic type thing. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with that one. Not a fan of that rejoin. I'm going to have to... Connor, we're going to have to play some music here. I'm going to need to entertain myself. That's just going to have to happen. As I entertained myself again this morning watching the regular season baseball out in Japan, and 25, like for all the people who complain about it, and I was one of them, right? Only because it's an opportunity for people to complain. I complained because I knew others would complain. And I know that's stupid, but that's how I felt about it. Because I love baseball. It's my favorite. I love it. And I'm tired of them putting themselves in a position to get mocked. And the idea that opening day in Japan, nobody even knew about it, myself included. Like, I knew they were there. I knew they were playing games. I didn't remember which morning it was. Like, I needed to be reminded. And it's like opening the season, the games actually matter. We haven't even had our fantasy draft yet in Evan's dopey league. Like, it just seemed like stupid. But for all the people who hated it and all the people who want to dump on it, 25 million people in Japan watched the games. 25 million watched opening day in Japan. They are far behind all the other teams is as a global sport. Now, Japan isn't necessarily where they need to expand necessarily because it's clearly the biggest sport in Japan. Baseball is number one in Japan. 25 million people watched. The last time a game, an American broadcast, had 25 million Americans was Dodgers-Astros Game 7. I think that's what I read, or game six. Did that series go seven? Either way, one of the clinching game, the final game of the Dodger-Astro series in 2017, rather. That is the last time we saw 25 million people watch a baseball game. And for the opening season series, 25 million people watch these games. That's a pretty big success for Major League Baseball. That's a lot of eyes on the game. And that just goes to show the Ohtani contract, man. It is, you want to talk about the Dodgers being the Death Star, right? The new fully functional Death Star, the new evil empire, if you will, in Major League Baseball. Sure, they signed, you know, Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott out of nowhere. And sure, you know, they brought back Teoscar Hernandez and they have great players and their payroll's upwards of 380 and the Guggenheim family doesn't care about the luxury tax and all that. So yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. What made this all possible, what's really changed them, because they were good for a long time. They've won a bunch of divisions in a row. They were in, you know, they won the World Series in 2020. They were in it in 17 and 18. Like, they've been a really good team. They've had some disgusting playoff failures as well, but they've been a really good team. Shohei Ohtani has changed everything. That is, without question, the greatest contract in the history of sports. And I remember I was driving in to Long Island to go to the first of two. We did it back-to-back years. The first, Giannotti and Sal did the event led the event with the Islanders, where, you know, the fan crew gets the suite at the Islander game. It's awesome time. It's a great experience. We have a good time. We've done it 2 years in a row. The first year, I met Ralph Macchio. I met the Karate Kid live in person. But I was driving to that event when news broke of the $700 million contract for Shohei Ohtani. And I remember thinking, good grief, $700, yes, I turned into Charlie Brown. $700 million? Over 10, they're paying him $70 million a year? That's crazy. What a terrible contract. Only to find out in the next few days that he's literally doing it for free. And the money's going to get all pushed back. It's only $40 million on the cap. And he makes them gobs of money. He is without question. We talk about Judge, and he, for a time, maybe for a short little time, he was the face of baseball. Without question, the face of baseball is Shohei Ohtani. It's not even close. And this guy makes them gobs of money. 25 million people watched. 25 million people in Japan watched that game. What would it be if it weren't Ohtani? He's making them a ton of money. That contract has set them up. Now, we're going to see what happens at the end of next season when we're talking about a new CBA and probably a lockout or a strike or whichever one comes first. I don't know. But there's going to be a stoppage. I'm almost positive of it. Hopefully they can figure it out before the season starts. And as much as I hate it, it does make for good baseball podcasts in the offseason. I was listening to so many baseball podcasts during that holdout. But like, whatever the case may be, they've decided they're going to try and win as many championships over the next 3 years before this thing is done, because they're paying him 10 years in the future. Like, he makes them so much money, it pays. He literally is free. He signed the first ever $700 million free contract. It's the first of its kind. Step right up, everybody. Stare at the amazing $700 million free contract. Dip into your pockets. Give me $700 million. I'll give it right back. That's exactly what happened here. It's an amazing contract. It has set the Dodgers up for everything else they do. It's frustrating that he would not even consider, for Yankees and Mets fans. The Mets have every right to say the same thing. They have the richest owner in the sport. He didn't even consider the East Coast. Because I'm telling you, even Cheap Hal, if Cheap Hal had the $700 million contract that makes him money, He'd be doing, I don't know if he'd be spending the exact same thing as L.A. I can't tell you. I know he'd have a $390 million payroll, but he'd be spending more. It's a crazy contract. He steps onto the field, 25 million people watch. It's crazy. King George in the Bronx. What's up, King George?
Live long and prosper. You put out a great product. And I want to talk about something that you and I both know. You draft the wrong quarterback or you obtain the wrong quarterback, you could set your franchise back for years. Look at when Ryan Leaf was drafted. Oh, he's a good alternative to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but what? Exactly. But what if they drafted Peyton Manning?
Yeah, then it might have been better. But you remember? I don't know how old you are, but
I'm 41.
Phil Sims. Oh, okay. Well, when Phil Sims was drafted, everyone wanted them to get Jack Thompson to throw in Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
How did that turn out? You get the wrong quarterback. Teams get ruined for years.
Oh, come on, George, I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing. The Giants drafted Evan Neal 7th overall. Didn't it hurt them? Didn't it devastate them? You draft anybody at the top of the draft, and he turns out to be a bust. It's going to hurt you. It's going to set you back. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. I mean, Pittsburgh drafted the wrong quarterback. They got rid of him after a year. The Bears drafted a wrong quarterback. In Fields, they got rid of him, drafted a better quarterback. The Arizona Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen. Realized he wasn't the guy after 1 year, drafted another quarterback. It's not this death knell. It has been another. You draft anybody. Hell, the New York Giants drafted a great running back 2nd overall, and it killed them and set them back. You make a mistake with the 3rd pick, you draft someone who doesn't help you, I don't care what position it is, it's a disaster and it sets you back. This idea that the quarterback is the only position that sets you back if you get it wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It's the only position that guarantees you success if you get it right. How come nobody sees this? I don't get it. I'm so fed up with this. Nobody sees it. Everybody's focused on the negative. The Giants have been trashed for a decade. What's the negative? How about the positive? You mentioned Ryan Leaf. What if you draft Peyton Manning? You're good for 12 years. You win 13 games a year for 12 years. That's what happens if you draft Peyton Manning. Like, I mean, come on. Well, who else does that for you? Name another player like Peyton Manning where if you draft it right, you're set up. It doesn't matter who's on your team. It doesn't matter what receivers you give them. It doesn't matter what goes on. You're winning 10 to 13 games every single year because you drafted that one guy. Give me another position that does that. Because I can give you a bunch of positions that if you take a terrible pick and have a bust, it doesn't matter. He's going to set you back. You draft Evan Neal 7th, he's not good, it sets you back. You draft any position, it's not good, it sets you back at the top of the draft. You can't be wrong. But if you draft the right quarterback, it sets you up. Drafting the right running back doesn't set you up. Drafting the right shutdown corner doesn't set you up. Drafting the right wide receiver doesn't set you up. Drafting the right left tackle doesn't set you up. Drafting the right edge rusher doesn't set you up. None of those things set you up for continual success the same way that the quarterback does. Why are we focused on what the wrong quarterback does for you when the right quarterback changes your franchise? Like, that's what I'm talking about, King George. What if you get it right? If they get it right, we don't have to talk about this for 10 years. And it's going to be a hell of a lot of winning. So if they get it wrong. Yeah, if they get it wrong, it sucks. They get it wrong, it sucks. Don't disagree. But it doesn't have to be a death knell. You can move on from it. You can pivot. It's a rookie contract. He's not making a ton of money. You can figure it out. But there is no position. I don't care. What if they draft Hunter and he's not good? What if they draft Hunter and they realize, oh man, this, you know, he's really just an average cornerback who is, you know, or whatever the case may be. What if he's not a generational talent? What if he's just okay? Is that not going to set you back? What if Carter and his foot issues persist and he never stays healthy? Does that not set you back? Or only quarterbacks set you back? Because I can tell you this, Hunter can be everything we want him to be. Hunter can be a shutdown corner and an amazing wide receiver. He could be scoring touchdowns and running back pick sixes on back-to-back possessions. He could be a stud. He could be the best player in the NFL. It doesn't guarantee the Giants anything. It doesn't guarantee them anything. It guarantees them a better defense, right? Who's the best defensive tackle in the NFL right now? Since Donald left, who's the best defensive tackle in the league? You can make a very strong case that it's Dexter Lawrence. You can make a very strong case that that Dexter Lawrence is the best defensive tackle in the sport. How'd the Giants defense do? How'd it look last year? Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the game. Giants had him for 6 years. Six. How'd it go? Did he change the franchise? Did he do for them what he did for Philadelphia? Because, you know, you go there, that's what happens. You have Saquon Barkley on your team, you have sustained winning. That's how it works, right? Nope. Nope. You draft the quarterback right. If you're the Texans and you draft the right quarterback, back-to-back playoff appearances your first 2 years. All right, no Super Bowl. But he took a Texans team that was in limbo after what happened with Watson. He went there, back-to-back playoff appearances. Back-to-back seasons with a playoff victory. You draft Jaden Daniels, suddenly your floundering franchise that has been right there with the Giants as the slop of the NFL is in the NFC Championship game, going on the road and beating the number one seed. That's the difference. No one is disputing the fact that if Sanders isn't the guy, or Cam Ward isn't the guy, or Jackson Dart stinks, or whatever the quarterback that they draft sucks, it's going to set the Giants back. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost Brian Daboll and Joe Shane their jobs. Hell, it might even cost the next regime the beginning of their, put them on the hot seat before they have a chance to make a decision. All of that is accurate. But if they're right, it changes everything. It changes everything. If they're right, it changes everything. There's not another if they're right, it changes everything other than the quarterback. So that's what I want to do. When you're picking in the top five and you don't have a quarterback, to me, you pick a quarterback. Plain and simple. Because no other position is going to help me. What does Carter do on this team? What does he do for them? Like it's a different game. Lawrence Taylor's not going to come here and turn around the Giants. Let's go to Jose in the Bronx. What's up, Jose?
Oh, C-Mac, man. Every time that I listen to you talk, I mean, you're correct. But I was telling your producer that there was one guy that you missed where they messed up, I mean, like huge. Do you remember a guy named Kadarius Toney?
Do I remember Kadarius Toney?
I mean, can you?
I do. Of course I remember Young Joker.
Oh, my God. I just wanted to remind you of that guy. Yeah. I don't think I heard you mention it.
No, and I'm listen, a Eric, they drafted Eric giant. Flowers ninth overall. You could talk about if you draft a guy and you're in the top 10 and you're wrong, it's a disaster.
Jesus Christ. Listen, do you know what?
If you draft him, you might be able to turn it around.
First of all, I'm a giant guy. And do you know what I don't, does the word suck? Do you know what the word suck is? Let's get the Giants out of the way, and let's see what the next game is on Sunday. They have just been...
No, 100% right. That's it. You don't even... By October, and thank you for the call, by October, you don't care anymore. By October, you're moving on to your bets. You're moving on to your fantasy football team. You're moving on to whatever else, and you're certainly moving on to the 4 o'clock game. Like, that's for damn sure. I'm just saying, yeah, Kadarius Toney, who obviously... You know, famously, they could have picked Micah Parsons after Philadelphia jumped up and traded with Dallas in front of the Giants and took Devontae Smith. And so the Giants were in desperate look for a wide receiver. So instead of taking Micah Parsons, they traded down and ended up taking Toney. Yeah, it killed him. That hurts. It all hurts. To me, it's an easy question of, is the juice worth the squeeze? It's that simple. Failure is going to hurt no matter who you take. That's the bottom line. Failure, here's the one thing I'll give you, and I'm getting the break sign again. I'm not used to this. Normally, they let me just go in the overnight. What the hell is this? Like, I have to break at 20? I got an email from Dove today? Like, what's going on? But here's the one thing I'll give you for the quarterback people that's a little bit different. And I'm sorry if you're going to call me up and throw this in my face. I'll just say this. It's harder to evaluate the quarterback. That I'll give you. The likelihood of the bust is more with the quarterback. That's fair. It's the hardest position to evaluate. I think we're at a point right now over the last few years, certainly, you draft a wide receiver. I know they mentioned Toney. That was a little bit later in the draft. You have a stud wide receiver that you believe is worth a top five pick. We don't see them be wrong very much, at least not at the level where they're not at least productive players. Like, you know, obviously they just took Malik Nabers. He's a stud. The wide receiver position has kind of gotten to the point where you feel fairly confident. Defensive backs that high in the draft are typically fairly obvious. Left tackles, I know, obviously the Giants have one with Evan Neal, but if you have a stud offensive lineman at the top of the draft, you feel fairly good that he's going to be a starter in the NFL. The quarterback position itself is the hardest to evaluate, and the percentage of getting it wrong is higher than the other positions. I'll grant you that. I think that's fair. I know that's fair. It's accurate. But no other position changes your franchise if you get it right. That's the bottom line. I need the Giants franchise to change. I need it to change. And you're not going to change it with a shutdown corner. You're not going to change it with an edge rusher. I doubt it.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I seriously doubt it. We've seen it before. We've seen other teams have it. You lose to the better quarterback. That's what happens. That's what happens. There are you want to be the Eagles and be able to build the best roster in football and have the smartest executive who makes every smart move. Yeah, okay. You want to try and be the 49ers? They haven't won. There are a couple of teams that really are able to build the roster to such an excellent point that you can, you know, have a great team year in and year out with a middling average quarterback. And I don't even think that's fair to say about the Eagles because he's far better than that. But I don't know if he's at the top of the league, although he's played like that in big games. I just think that when you don't have a quarterback and you're drafting at the top, you got to take the swing on the quarterback, because if you don't have one and you're drafting in the top five, you have to take that chance, because if you get it right, the caller mentioned before, King George mentioned Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning. That's it. If you draft Peyton Manning, you're the Colts forever. Now, it's only one championship, and you might say that's not enough. They own the division. They win 13 games a year. They're hosting playoff games every year. They're in the AFC championship game 2 out of every 3 years. Like, that's what I want. Because let's be honest, even during the Eli Manning era, even during winning those 2 Super Bowls, and I'm not trying to take those away. I love those championships. They're as good as anyone's ever had. This city, any city, it's 2 of the great championship runs anyone could possibly wish for. But they were never the 11, 12, 13-win team every year, dominating the NFC East, hosting playoff games every single year. They went on 2 incredible runs, but ultimately, they were not that juggernaut of a team. That's what I want, the team I know. I at the start of the year, we can evaluate whether they're good enough to win a championship or what are the moves they've made to change the team a little bit, and how are they going to go beat Mahomes, or how are they going to figure out a way to beat the Eagles, or how are they going to do that? Fine. But I know they're going to win 10, 11, 12 games in their sleep because they got the quarterback. And the only way to do that for the New York Giants right now is to take a shot. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your calls. Quick break. Come right back on The Fan. 888-808-1019. McMonagle in for McPherson, taking you all the way to 2 a.m. right here on The Fan.
Cause it's a bittersweet symphony this life.
All right. 11:35. McMonagle here with you. Only another half hour left in Wednesday, and then it's Thursday, and we get to the tournament, we get to all that stuff. Big day of sports ahead of us. St. John's tomorrow night, 9:45 against Omaha. Speaking of Eli Manning, Omaha. Hopefully that's an easy one, setting up a second-round matchup against either Kansas or Arkansas, and either Bill Self or John Calipari, who today I heard that I heard Patino talk about the only rival he ever felt he had in his career was Jim Calhoun, that he doesn't consider Calipari a rival or anything. Jim Calhoun, one hell of a coach, so... But what Patino has done with this group as we get ready to possibly see a run, and it's starting, you know, it's exciting and it's nervous. Like, it's one of these things where, you know, we believe in this team, right? The city just fully believes in the team. They know they're good. We don't know if they're championship good. I don't think that's the expectation necessarily. They're, you know, a run to the Final Four would be great. Like, there is no doubt every single St. John's fan, everyone here who's been tuning into the station since they've made this run, or whether it's BT and my man John Minko, who, by the way, Mink, if you're listening, you didn't text me back, bud, and you're making it seem like I'm lying just to get, you know, to make you look bad. I love you. You're my guy. You'll always be my guy. I miss you every day. But you didn't text me back, and don't tell people you did. I got the proof, man. I sent you a text message congratulating you on the 2 seed. I was going to selfishly ask if you wanted to come on the show. But, of course, you ditched me for the afternoon crew and then didn't even have the courtesy to send me a text, Minko. It's all right. I love you.
But when... Suck it!
Well, that's... No need for all that, John. But... A text back would be nice because I miss you. I just want to talk to you. How are things? Whether it's BT or whether it's Minko or the biggest St. John's, a run to the Final Four would be pie. They don't have to win a national championship. They get to the Final Four. What an amazing, amazing year. And, I mean, this team right now is good enough to do it. It's good enough to do it. And we're getting excited for this run, but it's also nerve-wracking because we don't want this year to... Like, whenever these teams have these years, right? We just dealt with it with the Mets, right? Similar to the Mets a little bit of a miracle run, unexpected. The St. John's have been a more dominant team all year, but the second half of the year, the Mets were good. But the point being, a year that we thought St. John's would be a tournament team, or we thought St. John's would improve from last year, but we didn't expect them to be the clear-cut best team, without exception, in the Big East. Like, we didn't expect this. This has been a turnaround that we didn't expect this year. For them to, you know, win the Big East championship, go on the longest winning streak they've done since the mid-80s, win the Big East regular season and tournament for the first time since the mid-80s. Like, we did not expect all that. And so now that we start the tournament, the last thing you want to see, and upsets happen, and things happen, and we know that this team can struggle from behind three-point line, they can struggle at the foul line, and those are the things you have to do to secure victories, to close teams out. Like, this is a, you know, it's scary to get into these one-game elimination tournaments. That's what makes the tournament so much fun. That's why we love it. That's why even the casual college basketball fan will choose to get a vasectomy this time of year because he wants to sit and watch all the games. We all love it. But the fear about St. John's now, the more I, like, as we're getting ready for the game tomorrow night, and I'll be on with you right here on the Fan after the game. As soon as the game's over, there'll probably be a 6 or 7 hour post game, and then there'll be we'll hear the Westwood 1 8 or 9 hour post game, and then I will be there for you. But after the game, tune into the Fan. I'll be reacting to the game right away, Johnny fans. But what the fear is that you want to justify the year. Like, that's what sucks about it. You want to justify it. You want to be able to say it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just if they lose in the first round to Omaha, disaster. And you're like, well, what was, like, it was a fun ride and everything. But ultimately, it's like, man, well, that sucks. That doesn't put a stamp on what this team was. That makes me wonder everything about this whole year. Like, it'll be unfair, and then once you get a couple weeks away from it and a couple months away from it, and all the changes happen, and Patino wheels and deals inside the portal, and you'll start to get excited about the year moving forward again because you know the program is back on good footing. It's got plenty of money behind it. It's got a great head coach, and it's not going anywhere if they lose it to Omaha or lose to Arkansas or Kansas in the second round. But if they don't make it, at least to Texas Tech, like to me, the two teams they can lose to in the bracket are Texas Tech. I don't know why that's a tongue twister for me. It shouldn't be. Texas Tech, the 3 seed, or Florida, the 1 seed. If they lose to either one of those teams, it'll be a disappointment. Now, if that comes in the Elite Eight, or then you live with it, I guess. But like ultimately, or the Final Four, like those are the only teams I want to lose in the bracket. If you're lucky enough where Texas Tech gets knocked off first, then they should win. And if they're lucky enough where Florida gets knocked off, then they should win. But you could stand losing to one of those two teams. These two first games, they have to win. I disagree with anyone, and I understand the year was so magical and it was so much fun and it hooked the city again, and we're living and breathing St. John's basketball for the first time in forever, and it felt good, and it felt good for everyone here at the station. It felt good for the city, and you really recognize how much, if St. John's good, is how it is, it can impact this city. It's the only college program that would rival any of our pro teams as far as fan base, as far as excitement, as far as, coverage here at the station, whatever. And you're looking to justify that. And losing one of these two first games makes it hard to put a stamp on it. It does. I'm sorry, it just will. It's the nature of the beast. It's unfair. Crazy things can happen in this tournament. You get into a tournament and, I don't know Omaha from a hole in the wall, but they get a couple of kids who just can't miss from three. Things happen. They can't miss from three. St. John's misses a couple of critical free throws down the stretch of the game. You lose. We see it all the time. I don't expect it from this team. I think they're going to carry this game easy. I think they're going to win the second game easy, to be totally honest with you. But I think they have to justify the great year. That's what you look to do with this. You want to justify it. The Mets went on and lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Stamped the season. Right? If they would have lost to Milwaukee there, it's a different feel of the Met year. Right? It's a great run. They take care of the Braves in the first game of the doubleheader. The Lindor home run, all of that. They get into the postseason. Miracle run after they were 11 games under 500. OMG, Grimace, blah, blah, blah. All great. And the season's incredibly fun, and it's awesome. But if Alonso strikes out or hits into a double play, think of how different this whole thing is. I still think Juan Soto's a Met. I know there are people who think he wouldn't be a Met, but I don't know. I would still think Juan Soto's a Met. But Alonso's probably not a Met. And the stamp of the team, it doesn't feel the same. Because right now, the Met fan, like, this is the difference. The Met fan right now feels like nothing can touch us. Right, the rotation, it doesn't matter. We're better at this than everybody else. Stearns is smarter than everybody else. Clay Holmes is going to be great. Peterson's going to be great. Manaea is going to come back and be great. Sanga, like, the rotation's going to be great. The lineup's devastating. We've got money behind the team. We've got the smartest executive. Everything is great. We're going to be big brothers with the best team in the city. Blah, like, everything is pointing in the direction. And that was built on not only the regular season, but the magical moments in the postseason and getting past Milwaukee and then beating Philadelphia. If that season ends after losing two straight to Milwaukee after taking the first game of the wild card series, the season isn't stamped. It's not the same thing. Met fans would still be excited and Juan Soto probably still would be here and there would be a lot of enthusiasm for the year and you would feel good about it, but it wouldn't have that same sort of stamp, that same sort of this is legit. You would still wonder because the postseason you flamed out. But they didn't. They made good. They won a series, and then they beat a team that was better than them all year. They beat the division champ, Philadelphia Phillies, and they did it in 4 games. That stamped it. That solidified the season as special. And right now, the fear is as you're heading in, you want to make sure St. John stamps this as special. They don't have to win the whole championship. They probably don't even have to get to the Final Four. But they can't get tripped up in these first 2 games. Can't. Again, you can. And next year you'll think, hey, St. John's is still back and we still have Patino and they still have the money and they still have the ability to make the moves inside the portal. And now they're a destination. The excitement that the city's built, watching all these big games at Madison Square Garden, having these recruits watch them go through the Big East tournament and, you know, on Jimmy Fallon opening up the show. Like, hey, we're back. Right? That's not going to go anywhere. But this season won't feel as special if they get tripped up in these first two games. I'm not expecting it. Certainly not rooting for it. I hope they win the whole damn thing. But there is pressure. For the first time now in a while, there's real pressure. The Big East tournament, there's some pressure. They already won the regular season, Big East. You knew they were going to be a 2 or a 3 seed, depending on how they did in that tournament. Like, is it that much pressure? I don't know. This is now pressure. The season ends with a loss. And if it's in the first 2 weeks, it ends with a devastating one. Big game Thursday night. A couple of great days of college basketball ahead of us. The two best days on the sports calendar, many would say. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back after this. Continue to take your phone calls as we got you all the way till 2 a.m. right here on The Fan. Now, I wouldn't normally do this, but because it's a subject so close to my heart, I feel I have to. Ben Verlander, who I disagree with every so often. I think he's a little bit of a Yankee hater, but that's okay. But he did something that I can't allow. I can't allow it to be unnoticed. I can't allow it to not be pointed out. He said a couple things. First, let's get to the thing that really upsets me. He actually said two things. One I agree with, and one I just can't fathom someone doing this. He loves Ohtani, right? Ben Verlander, the brother of, obviously, the starting pitcher, Justin Verlander, he's been in the media for a while, tweeted out 14 hours ago, Shohei Ohtani is to baseball what the Beatles were to music. The sport has and will continue to soar to new heights with him. He's a living legend, and we get to watch him in his prime. I don't know if I agree with it completely, but I understand it. The issue I have with the tweet is he spelled Beatles, B-E-E-T-L-E-S, like the insect. You can't spell the Beatles wrong. You can't say Ohtani is to baseball what the Beatles are to music. I'm sorry, I am offended as a Beatles fan that you don't understand, that you don't know Beatles is spelled B-E-A-T like beat, Beatles, not the insect Beatles. How could you make such a mistake? How is that possible, Ben Verlander? I am disgusted. I am absolutely disgusted that someone could make that mistake, that you're going to reference them as the cultural icon that they are. You're trying to make a point. The Beatles revolutionized not only the music scene, but possibly the culture of the 1960s. They are as influential as arguably anyone who ever lived, as far as cultural and artist. Like they are Mozart, they are Da Vinci, you can't be more influential. Muhammad Ali was that influential. Like, they are the 60s. You can't reference them and then spell it wrong. Major, major problem. Now, along with that tweet that I kind of agree with the sentiment, he also put out a tweet that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player we've ever seen. And I don't want to keep doing this, but I don't know how, like, what he's doing right now. Shohei, when he starts pitching again, Shohei Ohtani is the greatest player who's ever lived. He just is. He's the greatest baseball player who ever lived. And I continue to hear like people give crap about this and want to argue it. There's no argument. There's no argument. Nobody has ever played the game of baseball at one time. All right? You want to make the argument about a career? Fine. Call up and make the argument about a career. Stupid, but fine. We have never seen somebody step onto a baseball field at any one point in history and play baseball, the complete sport of baseball. We have never seen someone step on the diamond and be as good a baseball player as Shohei Ohtani. He's the greatest to ever play. What we are watching Michael Jordan in his prime. We are watching Wayne Gretzky in his prime. We are watching the greatest to ever do it. And 25 million people watched in Japan, despite the fact that the broadcast couldn't even send the broadcasters. I mean, can you imagine? They're going to make this big deal of it. They're going to send the teams out to Japan. Fox is going to promote it out the yin-yang, and then they keep the broadcasters at home? It's ridiculous. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Update. Come back. Get you into our early Thursday morning and take you for two more hours right here on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Be right back.